It really is a pleasure to be with you this morning, and just so grateful to the Lord for His goodness and His faithfulness and His love towards us. And His love demonstrated this morning just in the meeting, singling out a family, saying, I'm just wanting to minister to Shane and his family. It's the love of God expressed. The love of God is also expressed. The faithfulness of God is expressed. The goodness of God is expressed of the fruit of His life in people. And I'm going to be ministering this morning. We're going to just press pause on the parables just for today, because we are doing something very, very exciting this morning, which also highlights the goodness and the faithfulness of God. We are setting some deacons into the office of deacon this morning, and so we'll be doing that a little bit later. But I'm just wanting to take a moment just to speak about leadership, so you can understand what it is that we're doing when we set deacons into the office of deaconship. There's a word that you won't find in the English dictionary, but you know what I mean. And so we're going to just, if you can turn to the book of Acts, and put your finger in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. We will be going there just now. But in the early church, we read, especially through the book of Acts, is that we see the fruitfulness of the gospel being expressed in the book of Acts. And so when you look at the book of Acts, right in the beginning, from Acts chapter 2 onwards, we see salvations, there's repentance, there is Holy Spirit baptism, there is water baptism. We see the church is devoted to Jesus. That's all the fruit of the gospel being expressed. And so we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, that the church grew from 120 people in the upper room, the day of Pentecost, waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, 120 disciples, loving Jesus, praising Him, worshiping Him together. The Holy Spirit comes, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, Peter has preached a gospel message. People have got saved. The Lord added to the number day by day those who got saved. We see in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, that the early church grew to about 5,000. And so there's this fruitfulness of the gospel that's advancing. The goodness of God has been displayed through Jesus Christ to this world. And the kingdom is advancing. That's the fruit of the gospel. This is serious growth. So now the church has grown from about 120 disciples to 5,000 disciples. So the church has increased in number. And we know that when a church increases in number, it comes with some challenges. So I haven't yet had the privilege of leading a church of 5,000, but I speak to guys who are leading churches of 5,000 plus, and they say it comes with some growth pains. And so that's what's happened here. And we read in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, and you can read with me. The context is the church has grown. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews amongst them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, that's the 12 apostles, they gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from amongst you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. I'm going to just repeat that. Choose 7 men from amongst you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed for them, laid their hands upon them. Verse 7, so the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And so growth, we know along with growth comes growing pains. And so in this context is that the church has grown, it's multiplied exponentially, thousands of people. And so in this growth, there is this issue of the widows were being overlooked. It's like the work has become too much, has become too vast for the apostles themselves to take care of it. And so there is a revelation that comes from the Father. In fact, this work needs to be shared. This responsibility of meeting the needs of people needs to be shared. And so the answer, the biblical answer is, appoint some deacons who will help facilitate some of this responsibility. And so the issue was one of neglect. It's not a racial issue, not a cultural issue. It's just one of neglect. People weren't being cared for as the church was growing. And so the answer seems to be a multiplication of leadership, a growth of a leadership team that can minister to the needs of God's people. And so the apostles were too thinly spread. It doesn't mean that the apostles don't wait on tables anymore. I just wanted to highlight that, is that the apostles still, in our context, elders still carry a responsibility to see to the needs of people. And it's not solely limited to preaching of the word and praying. Again, for any leader, their call is people. It's to minister to the needs of people. But their primary call for the apostles in this context was to preach, to prepare messages, to minister the word of God, and to pray, to hear the heart of God for his people. They had to give themselves to their primary calling, which is spiritually feeding the church. And so we see in Acts chapter 6, verse 2, the first deacon team. And so I'm going to highlight just some processes here. Verse 3, pick out from amongst you seven men, the ESV says, of good repute, good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. So this is not a democratic process. This is a God appointment. It's not like now we're going to vote for seven men, and the seven most prominent men, or the seven men who seem the most obvious, we are going to appoint to this task of leadership. The Holy Spirit puts in the hearts of people to choose seven men who carry these characteristics. So there's no voting process. It's not a democratic process. This is a divine appointment from God. Choose these men who are full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, full of wisdom, of good repute, characteristics of a leader. And as I speak about characteristics of a leader this morning, and we are going to be appointing some leaders who we see these characteristics in their hearts and in their lives, can I say that it's applicable for everyone? Let's not just look at it through the lens, well, this is characteristics for a leader, actually for all of us. And so make it personal this morning, this message for you. And so we see this role of deacons being established. And I think, sadly, often, is that we can limit the role of deacons in the church to that of man maintenance, is where they wait on tables and they show people to their seats and they pass the collection bowl around. For me, I don't see that in the Bible. What I see in the Bible is men and women called into leadership who are of good repute, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, and we're going to look at that now. We see Stephen. If you go and read Acts chapter 7, Stephen was a deacon, and he was martyred for preaching the gospel. Multitudes came to saving grace through his preaching, through his message. He was a deacon. He wasn't an apostle. He was a deacon that God used. He was a leader that God used in his kingdom to advance the gospel. In fact, he was martyred, stoned to death for preaching the gospel. We see Philip in the book of Acts chapter 8, verses 4 to 7. He preached the word and he operated in the miraculous. People just supernaturally healed through his ministry as he laid hands on people and prayed for them. He was a deacon. He wasn't an elder or an apostle. He was a deacon. We see Phoebe in Romans chapter 16, verse 1. And so men and women, deacons. Phoebe was a deaconess, commended by Paul as being a servant of the church. And her name is recorded throughout history into all eternity as somebody that Paul leant on and trusted hugely in the context of ministry. It's amazing that God uses men and women of incredible gifting who aren't apostles or elders, but flow in the gifting and their anointing and their calling to impact the world, minister to the church and impact to the world through their gifting. And so, can I say again that these characteristics of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, full of faith, are the characteristics that form the foundation for leaders in the context of their ministry, revealing Jesus to others. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, to the church in Corinth, we read it in our context, so that your faith or faith of men might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And likewise, for us, every single believer, I believe these characteristics should be the hallmark of our life and our ministry. That we are called in Jesus to be men and women of good repute. We are called in Jesus to be men and women full of His wisdom, to be full of the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen to that? Because often we say, well, it's only for leaders. No, actually, it's for all of us. And so we look at life through a leadership lens. Well, I'm not a leader, so you know, I'm just a Joseph. No, sir, ma'am, you are a child of God. And you've been called to impact and to influence the life of others. So in a way, in your workplace, in your home, in your family, you're a leader. So I'm actually speaking to all of us this morning. That's good news. And so we need to hear this message for all of us. So Hebrews chapter 13, and you can turn there, verses 7 to 8. The writer of Hebrews, the assumption is made, is writing to the church here. And he writes, or she, don't know who wrote the book. There's a lot of debate around that. But anyway, it's a word of God. It says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Consider your leaders. Look at your leaders. Weigh up their lives. Weigh up their lives. Examine them closely. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And then verse 8, there's a wonderful supporting scripture. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in other words, consider your leaders, their faith, their way of life. Is Jesus at the center of everything, of life and faith? If he isn't, don't follow them. So it's very important as we set deacons in place and we release leaders, as we release leaders who manifest, who display, who show this world, show us the life of Jesus. They are men and women who will lead you into an eternal inheritance. Very important. And so we will be doing that this morning. And we can with confidence say that these folk that we are releasing into the office of deacon this morning, appointing to that office, live this, that in their lives, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that as you follow them, as you watch their life, as you allow them to speak into your lives, they will lead you and draw you closer to Him, not themselves to Him. And so we want to release leaders whose faith in Jesus is contagious. You catch what they have. You catch what they have. They have Jesus, you'll have Jesus. What's that? It's a great contagious thing to catch is faith in Him. And so firstly, let's look at that of good repute. It comes from the Greek word maturia, which means mature. So we want to release leaders that are mature. They're not children. They don't treat faith like children. And so Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, we get a picture here. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And so leaders that we want to release are leaders who have trained themselves, who the Word of God has been a constant use of the Word of God in their life, a constant relying upon the leading and the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Just as constant use have trained themselves where Jesus has become their constant source of hope, of strength, and of peace. We want to release leaders who can lead themselves. If they can't lead themselves, they're not going to be able to lead you. That's a reality. And they find their source of strength and encouragement and peace in Jesus. They will lead you into an inheritance. They're not always dependent upon others. There are times when we lead on brothers and sisters. I understand that. But if we're always leaning on brothers and sisters, we're not leading. We're always leaning. And they can lead himself or herself. Secondly, full of the Spirit. And this is not the kind that you find in Preston's liquor stores. Full of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In other words, life has been consecrated to Jesus and the working of the Holy Spirit on his and her life. Dead to self, alive in Christ. Paul, in pointing to Jesus, this is what he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. He says, it is written, referring firstly to Adam. He says, the first man, Adam, became a living being. And then pointing to Jesus, he says, the last Adam, Jesus, is a life-giving spirit. Is a life-giving spirit. And so in other words, for a leader, if a leader is full of the Spirit, means that it's no longer I who live. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. He lives in me. His Spirit dwells within me. That kind of leader, friends, will impart the wisdom and the life and the power of Jesus to others. It means those kind of leaders, their self-centered, fleshly self has been crucified. They've taken on the very nature of Jesus Christ. Again, Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, and you can read it, I hope, up there. Paul says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, to refer back to Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love as who? It's Jesus. Being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Friends, leaders who have been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit will not elevate themselves or promote themselves or motivate their own ministry. They'll be surrendered to Jesus and be led by His Spirit. He says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Full of the Spirit, a life that's been regulated and surrendered and submitted to the working of the Holy Spirit upon his or her life. Thirdly, full of wisdom. You know that we can be full of the Word and not be regulated by the Word. Can know the Word, but not follow the Word. When the book of Acts, Luke says that choose men and women full of wisdom. This is not just having a knowledge of the word, but he's saying choose men and women whose lives are under the authority of truth. Not just know it, under the authority of truth. That what the word says we do, what the word says we believe, what the word says we follow, to the letter. Adding nothing, taking nothing away in its fullness. The wisdom of God is displayed and expressed through the Word, His Bible. And so there has to be. I'm not saying that leaders have to be fully conversant with absolutely every page of the Bible, but the deep truths of the faith they must be able to impart, Hebrews talks about. We're all in a process of growing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're all in the process of understanding and knowing His Word. But yes, we must be able to access His Word to encourage somebody else if we're a leader. And the best way to do that, I believe, is to be an example of the Word. See, you'll act in what you believe. Is that not true? A leader who believes the Word and follows the Word, his life will measure up to what the Word says. When you're in the company of somebody who's full of the Word, don't you go away inspired? Don't you go away like hungry for more of truth, more of Jesus? These are the kind of leaders that we're wanting to release, those who are full of wisdom, the wisdom of God. Only the Word, friends, can produce eternal fruit, not opinions. My opinion here matters nothing. My experience here means nothing. It's the Word in me that gives birth to life. The Word in me expressed that encourages and strengthens believers who will hear it. It's His Word living and active in my life that others can see the reality of the power of the Word. And it's the same for us. When we rub shoulders with this world that we live amongst, I'm wanting to ask the question, the Word of God, is that living and active? Do people see it? Just a question. You can answer that in your own time. And then full of faith. Choose somebody who is full of faith, the Bible says. And here for me, it's a persuaded faith, that there is a confidence in the gospel. The gospel. Not opinions, not experiences, but faith in the gospel, confidence in the gospel. And so I'm reminded of the faith of the centurion when his servant was sick. You know what Jesus said to him? He knew. He understood that there was only one person who could save his servant, and that was Jesus. This is a Roman centurion. We can read it in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 7, is what I'm going to refer to. And so he goes to find the only one. He has a confidence in Jesus. He has a confidence in the power of Christ. And he says, Jesus, only you can save the servant of mine. Just give the word, he says. Just give the word, and he'll be healed. There's a confidence in his heart that this gospel can invade, this gospel can impact, this gospel can transform a life radically, supernaturally. Has a confidence in the gospel. It's not, oh, well, maybe if I go to find Jesus, maybe if I find Jesus, maybe it might happen. No, I believe Jesus can. And so he finds Jesus. This is what Jesus says to him. Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. This is a Roman centurion. We want to release leaders that have a persuaded faith, that when people are going through tough times, struggling, that their faith in Jesus Christ, their faith in the gospel, their faith in the kingdom of God can impact a life. Supernatural faith, faith in the miraculous. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, again, Jesus says truly. When Jesus says truly, it's true. You can believe it. Also, when Jesus says truly, we must pay attention because there's something significant he's saying. Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that which he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. And so leaders, we want leaders who walk not by sight, but by faith in Jesus Christ, a supernatural faith, trusting God for the impossible. That when we see circumstances and situations that people are going through that is beyond the realm of man being able to be a solution to it, Jesus is. And we're trusting in the impossible. That kind of faith is contagious. Faithfulness. Full of faith, also faithfulness that a leader is trustworthy. Titus 2, verses 9 to 10. Titus says that these kind of leaders, faithful leaders, are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative. Well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, in other words, not stealing. But showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn. I love this. I'm sharing out of the ESV. They may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. That their faithfulness gives credence and gives weight to the doctrine of God, the Word of God, the power of God. Trustworthy. Trustworthy. We want to release leaders that when we put the lives of people, in fact, that's what we're doing, is we're putting the lives of people in their hands, that they are trustworthy with that noble task of revealing Jesus so that Jesus might be formed in them. Not their gift, Jesus might be formed in them. Not that people now are a stepping stone for my, or a platform for my gift. No, actually that Jesus Christ might be formed in them. Trustworthy. And then lastly, consistent faith. Is that they live consistently, believing, having an assurance of their salvation. The gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is God's power of salvation for all of mankind. Not one day Jesus is real, maybe he's not, maybe he's real, like a schizophrenic chameleon type of Christian. No, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he saves. And I know where I'm going, to an eternal inheritance, whenever that day might be. Put faith in the hearts of people who will follow that kind of leader. And so Paul writes to Timothy in the context of leaders, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. And he says this. He says, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands. So when we release leaders, we lay hands on them. What does that mean? To lay hands on. It doesn't mean to. Not that fivefold ministry, you know. Laying hands on them is trusting for an impartation of Holy Spirit power to walk in this great call, in this noble task, to be a shepherd of the flock. And so that's what we do, is when we lay hands. There's no power in these hands, but there's power in Jesus, who sent his Spirit into the hearts of people who believe. And that's what we do, is we just pray for an endorsement of the anointing that they're already carrying. Lovely ringtone. Do not be hasty in the light. I nearly started to dance there. And I told you last week that I can't dance, so it would have been frightening. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands. And so Timothy again, in 1 Timothy 3 verse 10, he says they must first be tested. So do not be hasty in the laying on of hands. And he says they must first be tested. And then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. They must first be tested. And so these couples that we are setting into the office of deacon this morning, has been some process where they've been given responsibility and they've run with that responsibility and they've proved faithful with that responsibility. And we can confidently this morning, as we lay hands on them, as we set them into the office of a deacon, say, follow them. Consider their way of life. Imitate their faith. Follow them. They will do you good. So those folk that we are ordaining into deaconship this morning, can I ask you to come up? Siva and Kelsey, Darren and Rochelle, Brad and Lee, Stunder and Elsa. Are they here? Stunder and Elsa, come. These four couples, we have the privilege and the great pleasure, and I trust that you also consider it a pleasure this morning as we, and I'm going to ask Yanni to come up with shells. And we're going to just for a turn around and face the people. Good looking bunch, aren't they? You know, what we see in the Bible, another thing representative here is that just praying for these guys this morning and just praying for the church is that whenever we saw a leadership team set in place, especially in the New Testament, we see a multicultural and a multi-generational team being established. And so you have a picture of that this morning, is a multicultural and a multi-generational team that we are setting in place. And we are trusting, and I'm looking at the second row here, and there's a bunch of young folk there as well. And I'm trusting that we are going to have folk younger than this couple that we'll be setting into office of deacon. We already had Justin, how old are you, buddy? Sorry? Say that again loudly. Shout it out.
21.
21, yeah. Even younger than 21. Not because they're young, but because they are men and women that are impacting their world with their reputation, full of faith, full of wisdom, and full of the Holy Spirit. And we have faith for that. And I'm wanting to say to young guys this morning, there's room for you. There's room for you in this context. I'm wanting to say to those who are beyond Stunder's age, there's also room for you. This gives me faith. Amazing couple. Young and old. And everything in between. And everything before and after. There's room for and space for. And so we're going to lay hands on them. But Charles, have you, you're wanting to, got a scripture? And Yanni might have. But we're wanting just to prophesy life over them.
Yes.
Purpose over them.
As Nick's reminded us this morning, we're not a social club. We are the family of Christ. And so we're not putting treasurers and secretaries, that kind of office that just performs functions that don't really matter. The functions that are performed within the family of God matter for eternity. And so 1 Philippians chapter 2, it says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life, and then on the day of Christ's return, I'll be proud of you, and you haven't run the race in vain. But I just felt in this day where our world is very confused and very dark, we as children of God and particularly leaders in the kingdom, we hold out the word because it is the word of life that will navigate us to eternal life. So that is the charge, the promise that rests on you guys this morning, that God will lead you and others through his truth.
Yeah, what Nick has shared, you know, the sort of requirements for a deacon, there's many of them, but men are full of wisdom, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. We understand it's we lead Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives, meaning that we submit our lives under his authority. But the one thing, or my prayer for each and every one of you this morning, actually comes out of a song, and I can't remember the name of the song, but I remember the part I want to share. It says, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." And we understand when we come into leadership, you know, we're there to serve the people, which is God's bride. And in a sense, we take responsibility of the bride of Jesus Christ, which means that our hearts needs to be aligned with his heart for his bride. And that's my prayer for you guys, that, you know, although you are full of the Holy Spirit and there's wisdom and there's under the authority of Jesus Christ, that he will continually break your heart for what breaks his when you look at the church and when you look at the people. Because it's a place out of having a heart for people that we can serve them in the way that Jesus served them. It's in a place where we have a heart for him that we will actually lay down our lives in the way that he laid his life down for us. So I want to encourage you in that, but I also want to pray for you for that. Do you want to say anything or can I pray, Nick? Come pray. Yes, Lord Jesus, I just pray for each and every person and the couples that's standing here, God, where they are being released into the office of deaconship, Lord. We thank you for these people, men and women, God. We thank you, Lord, that they love you, Lord, with all their heart, God. And we also thank you, Lord, that you enable and equip us, Lord, for this office, Lord. It's not as if we have to have everything sorted out or fixed or that we have arrived at any place, God. But it's because you enable us to do these things, Lord. But my prayer for each and every one of them, God, is that you will break their heart, Lord, for what breaks yours, God. We know, God, that your heart is broken, Lord, for people who do not know you, for people who's kicking against your pricklings, Lord, for people who's running away from you, for people, Lord, who's not under your authority, because it's when we are under your authority, Lord, that we live, Lord, in the fullness of life, Lord, and under your protection, Lord. And I pray for each and every one of them, God, that their hearts will be broken. I pray, Lord, that you'll open their spiritual eyes, Lord, so that they might see people through your eyes, Lord. That they will be sensitive, Lord, for where people are at, God. Holy Spirit, that you'll lead them and guide them, Lord, and just show them, Lord, supernaturally, Lord, where people are at, so that they can, by your grace and in love, Lord, minister to that people, Lord, or those people, Lord. We pray for that. We thank you, Lord, for a willingness here, Lord, and for hunger and a thirst for you, Lord, and to serve your church and serve your bride, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll just fill them more with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Daily, Lord, as they embark on this journey of being your hands and your feet, Lord, to serve your people and to serve your church. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen.
You know, guys, when I look at you and we know something personally about each one of you as a couple, and there's one thing that really stands out for every one of these couples, that they have a heart for the lost. They have a heart for the broken. And often when we look at leadership, we think leadership is only for the local church within the context of local church. In fact, we release leaders not just for the church, but beyond to impact this world that we live in. And I know that they have a heart for the lost, for the broken, beating inside of every one of them. And just wondering, Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 3, talking about, it's in 1 Timothy, it might not be chapter 3, but he talks about do the work of an evangelist. So as much as all the other characteristics of serving the church, he says do the work of an evangelist. And just this is a call just for all of us as a leadership. And I wanted to ask you to remind us to keep holding up the value for us of how important the lost are and how much they need the gospel. And so I know, for all of you, there's something of that heart, and to keep that alive for us as a local church. And then lastly, this is a picture, friends, of the faithfulness and the fruitfulness of God towards us, but also with us, is that we are able to release and multiply a leadership team. And so I'd like to add to Yanni's prayer, and then we're going to land. Father, we bless you, honor you, and say thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing in our midst, the way that you are working and moving in the hearts of people. Are you positioning people in the context of your call and your purpose upon their lives? And just this morning, Lord, this is a representation of you calling forth a group of people. But Lord, we understand you call all of us. And I pray, Father, this morning, what we see and what we witness and what we see expressed before us this morning, Lord, would happen for each and every one of us. We understand, Lord, that you have given us and apportioned us, each one of us, grace. A grace that is specific, that is diverse, and together we are able to join hearts, to join hands, to link arms in making you, Jesus, known to this world that we're living in amongst. And so this morning, Lord, we honor you and we thank you for these precious families represented. We pray that your grace would be sufficient, that your hand would continue, Jesus, to be upon them, heavily upon them. And we as a local church, we as a people that have the privilege of following them, Lord, understand that you have done it and they will do us good. That they will do us good. And we will make their call a joy, not a burden. That is our prayer as we look at them. We say that we will ensure that their call to lead us would be a joy and not a burden. We pray this and we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.